I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is October 26th, 2013. The website is theskepticarena.com. There's been an email that's been going around for a long time. It is continually updated. The title is 545 versus 300 million people by now retired journalist Charlie Reese. This is taken from the 1985 version, but as you will see, it has been updated. It was originally written as a newspaper editorial. It begins, "Politicians are the only people in the world who create problems and then campaign against them. Charlie, you are ignoring the majority of problems. However, your statement is true of some problems." He wrote, "Have you ever wondered if both the Democrats and the Republicans are against deficits? Why do we have deficits? Charlie, Democrats and Republicans are both against murder, yet we still have murder. Just because people are against something doesn't mean that those problems will magically go away." He wrote, "Have you ever wondered if all the politicians are against inflation and high taxes? Why do we have inflation and high taxes?" Charlie, see my previous reply. Charlie continues, "You and I don't propose a federal budget. The president does. You and I don't have the constitutional authority to vote on appropriations. The House of Representatives does. You and I don't write the tax code. Congress does. You and I don't set fiscal policy. Congress does. You and I don't control monetary policy. The Federal Reserve Bank does." Charlie, while true, you are ignoring the fact that most of those are elected officials responsible to the people who elected them. If they fail to do their jobs properly, their chances of keeping those jobs goes down considerably. He continues, 100 senators, 435 congressmen, one president, and nine Supreme Court justices equates to 545 human beings out of the 300 million are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for the domestic problems that plague this country. Charlie, those 545 humans are directly, legally, morally, and individually responsible for solving the problems that plague our country. To accuse them of being responsible for those problems would require evidence. Many times they are responsible, in which case they should be held accountable. But so far you are accusing them of being wholly responsible for all problems, and that is a claim you will have a hard time proving. He wrote, "I excluded the members of the Federal Reserve Board because that problem was created by the Congress. In 1913, Congress delegated its constitutional duty to provide a sound currency to a federally chartered but private central bank. I excluded all the special interests and lobbyists for a sound reason. They have no legal authority. They have no ability to coerce a senator, a congressman, or a president to do one cotton-picking thing." Charlie, when lobbyists threaten to campaign against a congressman and force him from office if he fails to support what they want, I would say that they do have the ability to coerce. They just don't have the legal ability to coerce. But Charlie, kidnappers, thieves, and murderers don't possess the legal ability to coerce either. Yet their methods have been quite persuasive throughout history. Your claim is amazingly naive for someone with your life experience. He wrote, "I don't care if they offer a politician $1 million in cash. The politician has the power to accept or reject it. No matter what the lobbyist promises, it is the legislator's responsibility to determine how he votes." Charlie, what if instead of offering $1 million, they offer to harass his family instead? Drive him out of office and back to his Walmart job. or turn the public against him with lies that will humiliate both him and his family. Charlie, when the carrot fails, the stick is not usually far away. He continues, those 545 human beings spend much of their energy convincing you that what they did is not their fault. They cooperate in this common con, regardless of party. Charlie, referring to the current government shutdown, only some of those people are lying about it not being their fault. He said, what separates a politician from a normal human being is an excessive amount of gall. No normal human being would have the gall of a speaker who stood up and criticized the president for creating deficits. The president can only propose a budget. He cannot force the Congress to accept it. Charlie, you forgot about the president's veto power. He cannot force a budget on them, but he certainly has been granted leverage by our Constitution. He wrote, the Constitution, which is the supreme law of the land, gives sole responsibility to the House of Representatives for originating and approving appropriations and taxes. Charlie, you left out the president's veto power once again. He wrote, who is the Speaker of the House? John Boehner. He is the leader of the majority party. He and fellow House members, not the president, can approve any budget they want. If the president vetoes it, they can pass it over his veto if they agree to. Charlie, so you do know about the president's veto power. Unfortunately, you ignore the fact that it takes a two-thirds majority in each chamber to override a presidential veto. The House Republicans do not have anywhere near that number. So your solution will fail. He wrote, it seems inconceivable to me that a nation of 300 million cannot replace 545 people who stand convicted by present facts of incompetence and irresponsibility. Charlie, I will agree with you regarding Republicans. There are no facts to support blaming Democrats for the economic disaster being threatened by Republicans who are angry that the democratic process didn't go the way they wanted. He continues, I can't think of a single domestic problem that is not traceable directly to those 545 people. Charlie, I could name thousands if I had the time. He wrote, when you fully grasp the plain truth that 545 people exercise the power of the federal government, then it must follow that what exists is what they want to exist. Charlie, you have the mind of a child. Reality is not black and white as you are trying to portray it. Life is far more complex than that. Do the House Republicans want Obamacare to exist? No, so you got that one wrong. Do the Democrats want the debt ceiling threatened? No, so you got that one wrong too. He wrote, if the tax code is unfair, it's because they want it unfair. If the budget is in the red, it's because they want it in the red. If the Army and Marines are in Iraq and Afghanistan, it's because they want them in Iraq and Afghanistan. Charlie, you are committing the logical flaw of assuming they act as a monolithic unit when the reality is anything but. In every example you gave, you could find those who oppose the majority. He said, if they do not receive Social Security but are on an elite retirement plan not available to the people, it's because they want it that way. There are no insoluble government problems. Charlie, I retract my statement that you have the mind of a child. It's obvious that you have a long way to go before you will reach as high as the mind of a child. He said, do not let these 545 people shift the blame to bureaucrats whom they hire and whose jobs they can abolish, to lobbyists whose gifts and advice they can reject, to regulators to whom they give the power to regulate and from whom they can take this power. Charlie, sometimes those people are to blame. The black and white world which you seem to think exists, exists only in your mind. He said, above all, do not let them con you into the belief that there exists disembodied mystical forces like the economy, inflation, or politics that prevent them from doing what they take an oath to do. Charlie, those are not disembodied mystical forces. They are terms used to express concepts and processes. Charlie wrote, "Those 545 people and they alone are responsible. They and they alone have the power. They and they alone should be held accountable by the people who are their bosses." Charlie, everyone is responsible. Every voter who supported those representatives is responsible. Every citizen who contributes to our society is responsible in some way, no matter how small, for some condition. Charlie, you couldn't be more wrong if you tried. And Charlie concludes by writing, "Provided the voters have the gumption to manage their own employees, we should vote all of them out of office and clean up their mess." Charlie, throwing out the baby with the bathwater has never been a good solution. The trick is knowing whom to throw out. And now we move to the science segment. Today's article, researchers pinpoint when the first dynasty of kings ruled Egypt. For the first time, a team of scientists and archaeologists has been able to set a robust timeline for the first 8 dynastic rulers of Egypt. Until now, there have been no verifiable chronological records for this period or the process leading up to the formation of the Egyptian state. The chronology of early Egypt between 4500 and 2800 BCE has been reset by building mathematical models that combine new radiocarbon dates with established archaeological evidence. Over 100 fresh radiocarbon dates were obtained for hair, bone, and plant samples excavated at several key sites, including the tombs of kings and surrounding burials. Egypt was the first territorial state to be brought under one political ruler, and the new dating evidence suggests that this period of unification happened far more quickly than previously thought. Until now, scholars had relied on archaeological evidence alone, using the evolving styles of ceramics excavated at human burial sites to try to piece together the timings of key chronological events in the pre-dynastic period of the first dynasty. For example, among the most significant pieces of evidence surviving today are 2 mud seals excavated at the royal tombs of Abydos, containing lists in successive order of the first dynasty kings. Using the fresh radiocarbon dates combined with existing archaeological evidence, the research team's mathematical model pinpointed the likeliest date for each king's accession. The date for each king is thought to be accurate to within 32 years, with a 68% probability. The model timeline reveals lengths of reign that are approximately what you would expect in terms of lifespan. The Egyptian state is often defined as starting when King Aha acceded to the throne. According to the new model, this is likely to have happened between 3111 and 3045. It also shows that the pre-dynastic period, when inhabitants along the River Nile started to form permanent settlements and concentrate on crop farming, was shorter than previously thought. It had been widely assumed that the pre-dynastic period started around 4000. However, this model suggests it was probably between 3800 to 3700. And the Neolithic period that preceded it lasted longer and finished later. The origins of Egypt began a millennium before the pyramids were built, which is why our understanding of how and why this powerful state developed is based solely on archaeological evidence. The first kings and queens of Egypt in order of succession were Aha, Djer, Djet, Queen Merneith, Din, Anedjib, Semerket, and Ka'a. They would have ruled over a territory spanning a similar area to Egypt today, with formal borders at Aswan in the south, the Mediterranean Sea in the north, and across to the modern-day Gaza Strip in the east. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Seth Andrews, also known as the Thinking Atheist. And you can see his work at www.thethinkingatheist.com. Here's the quote from Seth Andrews. an omnipotent God chooses not to use his power to simply forgive humankind, but instead implements a solution which requires that he impregnate a teen girl in order to give birth to himself so he can have himself slaughtered and save human beings from the hell that he created. He then decides to communicate his scheme through conflicting accounts penned decades later by anonymous authors and subjectively handed down by flawed translators who can't even agree on the interpretation of the Virgin.
Are you ready, Greece? Stand, woman!